Proverbs chapter 11, we're going to start here and kind of make our way through some scripture this morning. Proverbs 11, the book of Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to look down in verse number 30. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." He that winneth souls is wise. This idea of being a soul winner and being soul conscious, being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, this term soul winner comes from here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. He that winneth souls is wise. And that winning of souls, of course, is a reference in winning a soul to Jesus Christ. A person that in their natural state is lost and without Christ. We're all born into this world with sin. And that's what the term means, that we are lost. That means without Christ. And that term to be saved means that Jesus Christ has done something for us that we could not do for ourselves. A person that's in the water, and no matter how good of a swimmer somebody is, when they're in the water, eventually if they get tired enough, they're at a risk of drowning. And if somebody throws them a life vest or somebody throws them the round thing on a rope, you know, I'm not even sure what that thing's called, but, you know, you've seen it before. If someone throws that from a boat or from land and they can grab onto that, that would be saving somebody from drowning. If you happen to be the one that threw out the life preserver, you didn't physically save them from drowning, but you gave them something that could save them and keep them afloat from drowning. And so this idea of being a soul winner and winning souls to Christ simply means that you and I have a responsibility and a privilege to be able to go into a lost and dying world without Christ and give them the answer for their eternal souls. And if you were saved, someone had an influence in you getting saved, whether they witnessed to you or brought you to church or gave you a gospel tract or kept talking to you about the Bible. There was something that somebody else did in order. Maybe you just came to church and a preacher just stood and gave the gospel and you got saved. But somebody had to do something to get you the answer, to get you the word of God in order to be saved. And so this idea of he that winneth souls is wise. Listen, we shouldn't, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want to lose any souls to the devil. He would rather have them won to him and given over to Christ. And listen, we win a soul by giving the word of God. By giving the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." By the word of God. And I want to show you a couple verses here as we kind of build this, and then we'll have some points here. But Mark chapter 4, if you would turn into your New Testament to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. Starting in verse number 3. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 3. The scripture says this, Mark 4, verse 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Now, if you're here for the Sunday school hour, Brother Grimes was kind of dancing all over the beginning of this message and this idea. But he was talking about sowing, and this is someone that went out to sow seed. All right, it wasn't sowing with a Singer sewing machine. This was someone that was sowing seed. And The idea was the ground is broken up and the ground is prepared, and then someone gets that seed and they used to throw it out by hand. And depending on the accuracy, and depending on how much seed they were trying to sow, it would land on wherever it landed. And it tells you what would happen to that seed when it would land on just a hard packed ground. Nothing happens. It land on some ground, it would land in some soil, but it was really stony ground, and the soil was only this deep, and the rocks weren't dug up, and it would spring up, but it had nowhere to place a root, and the sun would come out, and it would just wither away. And it just talks about that, different kinds of ground, but that sower was sowing the seed. And the disciples, if you know anything about the disciples, the Lord gave this parable, and the disciples said, "Huh? We don't get it." And so the Lord starts to explain it to them in verse number 14. And he says this in Mark chapter 4, verse 14. "The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So he explains the parable here of the man sowing the seed. It represents something. The man sowing the seed is a man sowing the word of God. And the listeners of the word of God, some don't hear it at all. Some hear it, but they're not fully convinced. Some receive it, but then the cares of the world come and they don't do anything for the Lord after salvation. And then others receive the word and they plant it in their hearts and they bring forth fruit unto Christ. How does that happen? It doesn't happen on accident. It happens at the very beginning. Verse number 14 is how it happens. Someone, the sower, goes out and sows the word. There's no other way for it to happen. I don't know if any of you, those of you that have gardens, this wouldn't make a lot of sense to me, but I don't think you'd go out there and prep the ground and get some of the rocks out and dig it up and turn the soil over and maybe put some extra things in the soil to help the seed grow. And then you sit back and go like this. All right. Now, perhaps, as Brother Grimes said, maybe a bird helps you out and flies over the garden and deposits some seeds into the garden. But other than that, it would be foolish to dig everything up and prepare everything and have everything ready to go and then sit there without actually putting anything in the ground. And it would just wouldn't make any sense. And so what does the Lord say when someone has to hear the word? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says there needs to be a sower to go out and sow the word. Turn to Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11 this morning. Ecclesiastes 11. In verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 11 in verse number 1. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, neither this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." These are principles here that Solomon mentions in the book of Ecclesiastes, and this idea of casting your bread upon the waters and it'll return to you. It's the principle of you reap what you sow. It's the principle of sowing. The more you sow, the more of a crop that there could be and that there will be. It's in the Lord's hands. We read that. But the idea is to sow and to reap. Listen, if you sow the word, you can win a soul. If you sow the word, you can win a soul. This idea in verse number 4, as we see here, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Well, I don't know, it might be windy today, and that might cause a problem, and I don't know, there's clouds out there, and it might rain, and I'm not sure, I shouldn't sow today. And someone that's always worried about what might happen, and someone that's always worried about, well, it might not be the perfect time, and do all these things, they're not going to sow, and if you don't sow, you don't reap. If you don't sow, you don't reap. And listen, those of you that are saved and born again in here, you would probably testify that getting saved and putting your faith in Jesus Christ and having your soul secured by His work and what He's done and secured in your heart by the promise of God's Word, that's the best thing you could have ever done in this life. Listen, I'm thankful for the day that I got married, and I'm thankful for the day that my kids were born. But man, that doesn't compare eternally to what Jesus Christ did for my soul when I got saved. Thank God that He offers salvation as a free gift. And if that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, that'd be the greatest thing to ever happen to somebody else. But you know what happened? We're sitting in here, a bunch of sowers. That's how God sees us, a bunch of sowers. And what do we need to do? We need to sow the seed. We need to put out the word. We need to put out the word for the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 6, it says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. Sow and leave it to God. Sow the seed of the word of God. Give the gospel and let God do what He sees fit to do with it. I don't consider myself to be a great soul winner. I want to be better. Sowing the seed of the word of God is eternal work. And reaping eternal benefits for especially the soul that gets saved, but also for you, the sower. And it's important, and we should think about it. We were down, and my wife and I were down in Southern California, and we were down in San Diego for most of the time that we were away for that week, and we were down there at a church meeting. And it's a meeting put on by Joshua Stevenson. If you remember him, he was here last November. He preached Sunday morning for you, and he preached during the conference in November. And it was his church, and I know Brother Stevenson from way back. All right, that's where I get in the problem of calling him Josh instead of giving him the respect he deserves, Brother Stevenson. And so I've known Brother Stevenson since Bible school, and we were young and, well, less mature, if you can believe it. And just a lot of things going on, and man, I hadn't really kept in touch with him, and he had come up here, and I had seen him last year when we were preaching down in California, and so it was a blessing to be able to go and to see his church and to see his people and the ministry that the Lord has given him. And this whole meeting is based around a street ministry for Comic-Con. All right, that's the comic convention. Now, this isn't my thing, so I don't understand it. I don't know why so many people go there. Again, it's just not my interest, but there's a lot of people. And they go to the worldwide, go to this big thing to do something with comics, all right? Celebrate it. They dress up like their favorite characters. They do all of this. And many years ago, he said, man, this is a great opportunity to be able to get out some gospel tracts and to be able to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this whole meeting is based around that. And say, what happened? Well, there's preaching on Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night. And Saturday is that we meet in the church and we all get our orders. And Brother Stevenson did a great job of organizing everything and having places for people to go. And we were able in about 3.5 hours to get out 20,000 chick tracks into the hands of the masses that are coming and going all through downtown San Diego. And they're coming and going to these different booths and different things set up. And so we were able to do that and say, what'd you do? Man, we just loaded up and we had chick tracks, the ones that we sell in our in the bookstore. And those Chick Chaks, they're little drawings. They're little comic books. And so we would say, free comic books, free comic books. As we're handing, oh, amazing. I want one. Oh, I want one. Here, give them the whole family. And so we were passing out Chick Chaks for those hours. And it was just people after people after people. Say, what was it? A chance to sow the seed. A chance to sow this. Say, what's going to happen? We don't know. We don't know. And Brother Stevenson has thought this thing out. Brother Gene Kim, I don't know if you know him. He has a YouTube channel with some teaching and stuff. He pastors a local church. He was there preaching. And on the back of all the Chick Tracks, they made one of those QR codes that you can scan with your phone. And it takes it to his website because he has local churches all over the world listed on his website. And so wherever they're coming from, whatever they're doing there in San Diego, they can go to that website and they can find a local church wherever they are if they happen to get saved. But what are we doing? Sowing the seed, putting out the seed, taking opportunities to give gospel tracts and to let people know. And after we passed out the gospel tracts, if we got them all out in the time allotted, some of the men stood up and would preach the gospel on the street and just lift up their voice and let people know there's a Savior that loves them enough to die for them. And that salvation's a free gift. And it's a great opportunity. Why? It's to sow the seed, to put out the seed. And listen, if you and I don't do it, who's going to do it? Is the world going to take up the cause for Jesus Christ? They're not going to do it. Christians, we're the ones that know what it means to be saved and born again. We're the ones that can understand how God can change a heart and can change a life and put our lives in a completely different direction and purpose than before we were saved. And we can understand the joy and the peace that comes from the gospel and that comes from getting saved. And what do we need to do? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. That's what we need to do. I had an opportunity many years ago with, some people you know. With John Havman, that's Daddy Havman. He was here a few years ago. He's the older one, right? There's many Havman preachers, and they're all sons of his, so it's this hierarchy, right? So he's kind of the godfather of the Pacific Northwest here. I had a chance with John Havman and a bunch of other people, and Nathan Gipp was there, and Dave Havman was there, and I'm trying to think of other people that you might know. And what it is in Montana every year at this time, this was about 25 years ago at this point, maybe 26 years ago. And every year they would have in the middle of the mountains and in the woods, they'd have this huge, like, leftover hippie convention. And you would just get all kinds of people from all walks of life, from all places that were still hippies or wanted to be hippies or that used to be hippies, and they would all just get tents and they would go up into the mountains and in the woods and they would just camp out and do whatever it is that they do. We were not there at night, all right? We did not want to be there at night. And Brother Havman, he had done it a couple times, and he gets a bunch of people together and we fill all of our pockets and we fill all of our, we had cargo pants back then. They were cool way back then. And we would put cargo pants, we'd fill our pants and our pockets and everything, and we'd carry all these Chick Tracks around. And what happened? Just a bunch of us, we started going up the trail into the woods and up into the mountains. And what were we going to do? Use as an opportunity to sow the seed. And we get up there, and this is a big path, and we're kind of, there's a big field that kind of is a parking lot where everyone's there, and we start walking up this real big path, and we start heading up into the woods, and we start seeing a tent over here and a tent over there, and it starts to narrow down, and we get to this one spot, and there's some people congregating around. It's a lot of people in this thing, and they're all congregating around, and you can tell one path goes this direction as we're coming to it, and the other path goes this direction. And John Havman gets up there, and he goes, "Where's the party?" like that, and people are going, "Over there." And he's like, "Yeah," and he starts heading over there. And so we kind of split up and head off and take these trails, and there's just people all gathered together and different groups of different people that are all there, and we just have these tracks, and what are we doing? We just start passing out these tracks. "Hey, let me give you one of these. Hey, let me give you one of these." We didn't look like everybody else for the most part, but it didn't matter. We were just passing everything out, handing everything out. I remember going up in this, they had this big tent set up. Maybe a 10 by 10 or something. They had this tent set up there. And I'm just passing out tracks. I'm not paying attention. I walk up into this tent, and there's all these bikers sitting in this big circle like this. And I'm like, oh, this is not my crowd, you know? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, let me give you one of these. And this one guy looks at it, and he goes, Chick Tracks. He goes, huh, these make good toilet paper. And I said, well, as long as you read it first. I can't tell you what to do with it after that. But what we're doing, we're just passing out tracks and going around. And what are we doing? Just sowing the seed. Sowing the seed. Say, that sounds crazy. Yeah, crazy fun. I mean, if you're a little loose in the head, it's a great time. Sowing the seed. Taking opportunities to knock on doors. Taking opportunities, I've told the story before, but on Easter Sunday, going and finding the five biggest Catholic churches in all of Rochester, New York. And right in the middle of their mass, we would go and use Chick Tracks and check every single car in the parking lot. Like we were undercover, you know, trying to avoid the security team and doing all that. Say, what was it doing? Just trying to get out the seed. Get out the seed of the Word of God. Going to festivals and big parking lots full of cars at all these festivals and just putting tracks on. What is it? Sowing the seed. Talking to coworkers and witnessing on an airplane and going to a bus stop and seeing people get saved at a bus stop. What are you doing? Sowing the seed. Just putting out the seed. We don't know what's going to happen with the seed. We don't have any promise that every seed that we plant is going to grow up and bear fruit. We don't have that promise. We don't know what's going to happen, but we can leave it to God. Just keep sowing the seed. Keep sowing the seed. Our church has opportunities at a 4th of July parade to do what? Go sow the seed. Just go out and sow the seed. At the Christmas parade as well, to go out there and take some gospel tracts and give them out. What are we doing? Sowing the seed. Sowing the seed. Well, we don't see fruit from it. We don't really understand what happens, and no one ever comes to church. We pass out all these tracts and nothing happens. You don't know what happens. Yeah. You don't know what goes on. Those tracts, man, they get in places and they get stuck in pockets and they get put in purses and they get in all these different places. And what happens? Man, someone pulls those out every once in a while and reads them. Not everybody. But someone pulls them. Someone takes them in their house and they just throw them down on the counter and, oh, man, whatever this is. And then you don't know what people are going through in their life. People might get to a place where they're searching for the truth and man, things happen in their life and they pick up a gospel tract and they start reading it. And man, God touches their heart and touches their soul. And they receive Christ. And what happens? They don't tell anybody. But what happens? Lives get changed from doing what? Sowing the seed. We're doing door hangers next Saturday. And what's that? It's a little packet, plastic bag, has a letter of introduction from our church and a little booklet in there and some gospel tracts, some things about the gospel, some things about our church. And what can we do? We can go put those on doorknobs and set them down on front porch furniture when they don't have doorknobs. It's surprising how many front doors don't have a doorknob. And you set it down by the front porch, you set it over on something, you set it beside the mailbox. Not in the mailbox, that's illegal. You set it beside the mailbox. But what are we able to do? We're sowing the seed. We're sowing the seed to people that will never come through these doors. They might not ever step foot in a church. But what can we do? Sow the seed. Sow the seed for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the opportunities at the fair. We don't do it because we want to spend all the money. We don't do it so we can just hang up a sign there that says Faith Baptist Church and hope that someone sees it and goes, oh, Faith Baptist Church, I'd like to go to church. Maybe they'll see it, but what do? We take opportunities to have real humans there, real live people, to be able to say, hey, hope you're having a great day, enjoying the fair, and give them a gospel track. Offer to little kids a kid's little Chick track with a little piece of candy. Can I give your kid a piece of candy? You know, they're carrying like 80 things and they're eating stuff. And can I give them another piece of candy and give them a gospel? What are we trying to do? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. It's opportunities to get out the gospel. I'd like to say this about being a soul winner, someone that's interested in souls. I'd like to say this. I'd like to talk about this morning. Things that a soul winner can't do. Things that a soul winner can't do. There's all kinds of excuses that come up of why people can't sow the seed. All kinds of thoughts, all kinds of reasons, all kinds of things that come up in life. But I want to preach to you on a few things a soul winner can't do. I like to say this, number one. A soul winner can't be too ignorant. Say, what do you mean ignorant? I mean not having the knowledge. You can't be too Bible illiterate to be a soul winner. It doesn't exist. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. I'm aware of the time this morning, just so you know. I can see it. I know what time it is. I didn't say anything about finishing early or even trying to, but I know what time it is. All right? That's never good when a preacher just says he knows the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look in verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Skip down in verse 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence." You can't be too ignorant. You can't, "Well, I just don't know how to talk to anybody. I don't know how to witness to anybody. I don't know how to do anything." One of the great things about Gospel Track is it does all the talking for you. And what is it? Sowing the seed. Sowing the seed. We have lots of Gospel Tracks here in our church. We have one that's American, "Let Freedom Ring." That's a good one. We have one that says, "There is hope." Listen, this world, they have no hope. They're out there looking and trying and messing around with all kinds of stuff, and it leaves them with the same thing, feeling hopeless and feeling empty in this life. Jesus Christ fills that void. There is hope. Does anyone in this whole world care? Absolutely. Jesus Christ cares greater than anybody could care for their soul. It says, only one way. That's Jesus Christ. That's right in the face of all this idea that, well, anybody can get there. They just have to, we're all believing in the same God. We're all trying to get to the same place. Incorrect. Jesus Christ said, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Look at this one. It's just a smile, some smiley faces. If you're not smiling, you can hand out one of these. You can put a smile on your face and go like this. "I hope you're having a great day today." And give them one of these. It's just, it's a smile. And what's inside of these gospel tracts? The gospel. That's what's inside. The gospel. These do all the talking for you. These are the ability to put these in somebody's hand. You don't have to know anything. You just have to leave them somewhere, give them to somebody, do something with the tract. You can't be too ignorant for that. And say, what if I get in a situation where they talk to me? Sometimes you'll give this tract to somebody and you're ready to run away. And they'll go, "Well, what's this?" "It's for you. Gotta go." So, what's this about? "Oh, it's about Jesus. Oh, I go to church. What's the difference between this church and this other church? What is this different? Why is this different than where I go to church?" Sometimes somebody might ask you a question, might have an opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord, to speak about your faith. Say, "I just don't know all the verses. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle myself." Do you know what happened to you? Not me. Not, do you know what happened to me? Do you know what happened to you when you got saved? Do you know how you got saved? This situation, I heard about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me to save my soul from sin, and I got saved, and I accepted what Christ did for me, and I got saved. If you know that much, that's a perfect witness. I was once this, but now by the grace of God, I'm this. I was once doing these other things and lived this life, and then I heard the gospel. I was once religious. I was once trying to earn it. I was once a pretty good person, and I found out that I wasn't good enough according to God. There needed to be a sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice. And I was pretty good, but I wasn't sinless. So I can never do that. Sowing the seed. Sowing the seed. Putting the gospel out there. You can't be too ignorant to give out the gospel. You don't have to know a lot. You don't have to know all the Bible. You don't have to be able to break down all kinds of deep doctrines. You don't have to know any of that. If you know how you got saved, you can tell somebody what happened to you, and you can give them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can give them the good news. Let me tell you something else. Someone that's soul conscience, someone that's sowing the seed, you can't be too backslidden to sow. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Well, I don't always do right. I don't always do the right thing. I don't have all my life together. Well, join the rest of us. I don't know anyone in here that says, well, I got it all nailed down. I'm perfect. I'm the perfect Christian. I don't have anything that needs worked on. The Lord hasn't convicted me about anything. Join the rest of us. But you can't be too backslidden to sow. Look in Mark chapter 16, starting verse number 9. The Bible says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and it had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared to another, in another form, to two of them, as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as he sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen them after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These are the disciples, and these are those that had followed Christ. And Mary Magdalene comes and says, I've seen Jesus. I've seen him in the garden. He's making his way here. I've seen the resurrected Christ. And they said, stop with the nonsense. We don't believe you. And then the two that were walking on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus Christ meets with them and opens up their eyes, and they come and they say, we've seen the risen Christ. And the Bible says here, and they believe not. And finally, Jesus Christ shows up. He walks through the door and says, oh, man, your unbelief and your hard hearts, you wouldn't even believe what was told unto you. Where are they? They're not. These aren't like A-plus, always got it together Christians. These are people like me and you. And Jesus Christ says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can't be too backslidden. You might not be doing right in all areas, but that's not an excuse to stay wrong in other areas. Well, I just don't have it all together, so I can't sow the seed. Don't do that. Well, I just can't get some victory over this, so I guess I'll just give up and do wrong in all the areas. Don't do that. Don't do that. Keep fighting the good fight. And what should we be doing? Sowing the seed. We should be sowing the seed. You can't be too backslidden to sow the seed. You know what else? You can't be in the wrong place to sow. You can't be in the wrong place to sow. Look in verse 15 where you are, Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. You're not going to find yourself in the wrong place. Now, let me preface this. Don't go to the wrong places. Don't go to places that Christians shouldn't be. If you're belly up at a bar, don't start passing out gospel tracts. All right? Don't do it. But the easy way is don't go to the wrong places. And if I make the assumption that you generally don't go to the wrong places, there's not a wrong place to pass out a gospel tract. I get a phone call one time, and somebody says, you got to go see what's his name. And I actually just remembered his name. But just in case this finds its way back, I'm not going to say his name. All right? But you got to go see what's his name. He's in the hospital. He was in our church for a while. He was a young adult in our church, had gotten out of church, had gotten with the wrong crowd. I said, what's going on? Why is he in the hospital? Car accident, something like that. Says, nope. He OD'd on cocaine. He's in the hospital, but he's still alive. I said, okay. So I go to the hospital and I walk in And I see the doctor on the way in. He goes, "You going over to see this room?" And I said, "Yeah." And he tells me what's going on. I said, "What's happening with him? What's going on?" And so he tells me. I walk in, and they're laying on the hospital bed, IV'd up and all kinds of stuff. He's laying there, and he's wearing a T-shirt with a scripture on it. And he's holding his Bible like this. And he'd given tracts to the nurses and to the doctor. And I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, preacher, I messed up." And I said, "No, I meant not that. I said, I meant with your scripture T-shirt and your Bible and your passing out tracts." And he goes, "Well, I was really scared." I said, "But if you'd been wearing your scripture T-shirt and reading your Bible and sowing the seed and passing out tracts, you wouldn't be in here overdosed on cocaine. And now you're just kind of a bad testimony right now." "Well, I was scared. I didn't really know what to do." I know, you got afraid and you went back to God. That's not a place to go back to. But what I'm saying is, don't do the wrong thing just so you can pass out gospel tracts. But there's no wrong place to give the gospel. At the gas station, at Walmart, at Home Depot, in a public restroom somewhere, there's no wrong place to put out a gospel tract. There's no wrong place to sow the seed. Listen, at Walmart, there's all kinds of places to put these. Did you ever go in Walmart and look for places to put tracts? They're all over the place. You'll find all kinds of boxes, and you'll find all kinds of clothes with pockets. You'll find, ladies, you can be walking through the purse section, and they're all just wide open waiting for you to put a tract in them. They're all just ready for you to sow the seed. "Oh, I could never do that." Why? It's a rhetorical question. I'm not looking for an answer. But you were nervous I was going to ask you for one. Why can't you? Guys, you ever go through Home Depot? Man, you go into the back where all those cabinets are. You know, maybe I'll redo my bathroom someday. I don't know. There's all kinds of boxes. And you know what? These fit right in. There's all kinds of handles and stuff. And you can put them right in the handle and they go right in the box. What are you doing? Sowing the seed. And what happens? Somebody makes a purchase and they come home and say, "What is this?" And you never know what can happen. You never know what can happen with a "What is this?" You never know what's going on. You go to the same place at the same time and you see the same cashiers and you see the same people at the same places. What can you do? Sow the seed. You come back in, be nice to them. You come back in, you give them another tract. "Oh, you gave me one before. Did you read it? Do you understand what it's about?" Opportunities to sow the seed, there you can't be in the wrong place to sow the seed. You can leave a gospel tract anywhere. You can be at a place and talk to someone about anything and about the Lord. Anyone else that says in this verse, it says, "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You can't talk to the wrong person. You can't talk to the wrong person. Say, "They look scary." You can't talk to the wrong person. Well, they really look like they need to be saved. You know, we make these judgments. You can't talk to the wrong people. You can't talk to the wrong coworker. You can't talk to the wrong neighbor. "Well, I'm already saved." All right, well, don't take them at their word. Talk to them about it. "I'm a Christian." That's amazing. It sure is a blessing to meet another Christian. "Man, when did you get saved and born again?" We've narrowed it down. We've narrowed it down. They might be believing in something, but it might not be in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they need to believe in for salvation. So what can you do? "Man, let me tell you about when I got saved." And what can you? It's an open door to do what? Sow the seed. Sow the seed in their heart. You can't talk to the wrong person. Go ye into all the world. That's why missionaries go out across the globe. But you know what we do? God's placed us right here. We don't need a missionary to come here. We have a whole bunch of them sitting right here this morning. People don't need to travel around the United States collecting money so that they can live, so that they come to Chehalis and Centralia and Mossy Rock and Adna and all the places, Napa Vine, all the places. We don't need them to come here to be able to sow the seed. Why? Because God's placed a whole church of us right here. And what should we be doing? Sowing the seed. Well, that's just missionary stuff. All right? Consider yourself a missionary. I will use my magic wand and I will make you a magic missionary. Man, God's placed us right here. We have a mission field all around us. There's plenty of lost people around here. If you don't know, ask them about it. You can't talk to the wrong person. God's put us here. Everybody needs the gospel. Everybody needs to get saved. Eternity is resting on it. John chapter number 3, turn there in verse number 18. I'll tell you another one. You can't send anybody to hell. Well, if I mess it up or I'm not a good witness or I don't tell them the right thing or if I offend them or if I do this other thing, these are all just lies that the devil will put in your ear and in your mind and in your heart so that you won't sow the seed. Listen, you can't send anybody to hell by giving them the gospel. Well, what if they get offended? Okay, what if they get offended? Look in chapter 3 and verse number 18. He that believeth on him, this is the Son, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We're going out there to sow the seed so that souls can be won to Christ. These souls are already in rejection or ignorance of what Christ did for them. They are already on their way to a devil's hell. And Jesus Christ is the answer to get them from that eternal destination to heaven. So if you give them a gospel tract and you're as nice as you can be about it and they get offended, you're not going to offend them into hell. They're condemned already for their unbelief. You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to give it to someone who might act offended or say whatever they're going to say to you, and they'll put it in their pocket, and you never know what's going to happen behind closed doors. You never know what's going to happen when they get in their car and they say, what is this thing? What's this all about? You never know what people are going through. People don't show their emotions anymore. They're not open anymore. Everybody's really extremely guarded. And so you have no idea what's happening. The idea is not, you can't offend anybody into hell. Say, oh, well, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? You say, you know what? That's a very good question. And I don't know how to answer that, but I know this much, is that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Tell them what you do know. So what if I don't know, what if I don't have an answer to their question? Then they still don't have the answer. They're still on their way to hell without Jesus Christ. And so you can't send anyone to hell. If you don't have all the answers, tell them you don't have all the answers. You're not damaging the gospel by not having all the answers. It's just the way it is. You're not hurting anybody by that. You can't send anybody to hell. Why? Because they're condemned already. And I like to say this as well. You can't make anyone receive the gospel. You can't make anybody receive it. Our job is to sow the seed and to sow it with compassion and to sow it, give opportunities for people to receive Christ and whatever God's already doing in their hearts. You can't make somebody get saved. Paul, in the end of the book of Acts, Paul in chapter 28, he goes and there's a time set and he presents the gospel to a bunch of people and the Bible says, and some believed and some believed not. Everybody is in one of those two camps. Some believe and some believe not. Turn to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8. This is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. His name was Philip, was the follower of Christ, and he ends up being in a spot where the Lord leads and guides him to this Ethiopian eunuch. And in Acts chapter number 8, look in verse number 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all their treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, this is the eunuch, he says, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus, who died on the cross and bore the iniquity and was like a sheep led to the slaughter. He preaches to him Jesus. Listen, the scripture can help a person believe. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, and he read it, and he said, "I don't really have any understanding of what's going on here," but there was something that was pricking his heart through God and through his word that was stirring within him. The scripture can help a person believe. Giving this, giving out a gospel tract, or giving somebody a verse, it helps them to receive the word of God, but it doesn't do the work for them. A person can help somebody believe. Philip says, "Hey, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm reading this book here. I'm reading part of this Isaiah." And he says, "You know what that means?" And he says, How do I know unless somebody shows me? "Why don't you come on up here with me? Here, I'll read this part to you. And you tell me what it says. This is a part that's sticking out to me right here. What does that mean?" And what's Philip do? He starts to preach Jesus. He uses people like you and I. When people going through things in this life and they have questions and whatever, and things happen, you know what we can do? We can sow the seed. We can't lead somebody to the Lord, but we can help them. We can show them Jesus. And we can sow the seed. The Holy Spirit can lead and guide. You see what happened? The Holy Spirit was working on that Ethiopian eunuch's heart and showing him some things out of the scripture. And he says, "Hey, Philip, why don't you go on down that way?" You ever think about that sometimes? You say, "Oh, man, you know what? I should get in here and get some gas. I almost forgot." You pull into the gas pump. You have no idea what God might have ready and what God might be working and what God might be doing. You have no clue what's going on. And all of a sudden, the Spirit says, "Hey, see that guy over there? Go talk to that guy." That's what he did with Philip. The Spirit led him. And so he shows up and says, "Hey, how can I help you?" And he preaches unto him Jesus. And what happens? The Ethiopian eunuch believes in Christ. And after he believes, he gets baptized in the passage. And what happens? A soul was won to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Philip was willing to sow the seed. It's all you can do is sow the seed and do your part. But you can do that. You can do that part. Are you sowing any seed? Well, you can't be too ignorant. Can't be too backslidden. Can't be in the wrong place if you're not going to the wrong places. You can't talk to the wrong person. Can't send them to hell. You can't make them receive. But we can sow the seed. We can sow the seed. We can put it out. We can say, "Man, this world's lost and dying around us." We can sow the seed to the honor and glory of God. Someday, people that sow the seed are going to get to heaven, and they're going to see a soul that gets saved. And doesn't matter how you lay it out in your mind. And the Lord's going to reveal, guess what? You left that gospel tract in this place. And they got that gospel tract and they read it and they received Christ, and that is fruit to your account. Because you did what? You left one of these somewhere. You handed it to someone sitting on the bench at Walmart, waiting for someone to be done or waiting for their ride to show up. You left him like a spy, like the Lord's spy. You know, you were out there, and you're leaving gospel tracks all over the place. Say, what happens? Man, that's sowing the seed, putting it out there, saying, Lord, give me the courage to open my mouth and tell someone about Jesus. Sowing the seed for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.